B-Pod Studios.
Belger.
I'm a liar and a phony. One of those no good nicks you keep running away from.
Maz.
I'm a man, Bill. Nobody's perfect.
Belger and Maz. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's hour number two, Agenda Free Friday, brought to you by the Bernardi Auto Group. Catch them at BernardiAutoGroup.com. I said earlier I wanted to give you one more thing from the Do Your Job documentary that I just loved. And it's a small thing, but the Patriots, you know, and I do think the Patriots have editorial control on this. So I think the Patriots determine what's in and what's out, if not actually write the thing, honestly. And we went over some of the reasons why, the sell job. So Belichick wanted this thing in here that I'm about to play you. He wanted it in there. And I think it's such a mind bleep. But this is now during the Super Bowl. And this is sort of in the middle of, there's really no real reason for it.
Oh, I know where you're going with this.
Okay, there's no real reason for it. Because they discuss how no one's moving the ball. And then Josh sort of says at the end, and this is before they get into the part about how they started throwing out of the running sets against the heavy formation in the L.A. and how they got that touchdown drive going. And it was sort of sandwiched in between a couple different topics. And in the middle of it, they show Belichick on the sideline, mic'd up, and this is what he says.
On the following drive, the Rams advanced to the Patriots' 27-yard line.
Rams now finally starting to look fluid on offense.
Josh, where's McVay? I can't find him. The plus 40. Okay, I got him. All right, I got him.
Okay, so it's hard to picture there, but this is what they're... Bill's looking across the field, and he says, where's McVay? I can't find him. He's talking into his headset. Where's McVay? I can't find him. Oh, plus 40. There he is. And that's it. And then they cut back to that Rams drive, and then I think it sets up the Gilmore interception.
Yeah, it does, yeah.
Okay. But it's like, why does Bill have to have eyes on the opposing coach? He has to have eyes on the opposing coach?
Yeah, checking for body language. You know, now this team is starting to get into a rhythm for the first time in this game. We're getting down to crunch time
here. So what does that mean? Bill can tell what they're going to call if he scratches his nose?
Well, whether or not he actually can, I think, you know, this is something that the fans eat up. I know I kind of saw it. I was like, oh, this is kind of cool because you'd be led to believe this is why they won Super Bowl 49.
Right, exactly. So that's what I thought, too.
Pete,
he was waiting out Pete on that goal line stand. And you're just watching Pete and watching the personnel run on and off the field. He saw that they were a little discombobulated. He said, well, let's just let the clock go. And because, you know, they don't feel like they're in a good spot. So maybe the pressure, all of it, right? So I remember that. But this was different. This was, I don't know, 5 minutes left in the game. There's plenty of time left. And they weren't on the goal line. They were on the 27-yard line.
Yeah, but they were in a good rhythm at that point.
So, but McVay calls his plays like the rest of them, like this, you know, with the play sheet over his mouth. So he can't read lips. Bill has to be, I need eyes on the opposing coach.
Now you never know. Maybe he catches some like quick little interaction with another coach, another player. He picks up on something. I don't know. Maybe it's just, you know, it's a fun narrative and something that fans will beat up.
But. No, he's just letting you know what he's watching while everyone else is doing something different. And here's the other thing. Like, as you were saying,
does this crawl in the head of the other coaches?
Maybe.
Oh, Bill's looking at me again. Why does Bill keep looking at me? What is Bill? Bill, do we stop looking at me?
Oh, I think he's looking for a tell.
But what's the tell? He's standing there in his tight little pants and the play sheet over his mouth.
Okay, but I'm telling you that I'd be willing to bet that Ernie Adams is sitting up there going,
he just scratched his left butt cheek, Bill. That means run.
Right. Something like that. I mean, that's an exaggeration, but you know what I mean.
But what? What could it be?
Like Bill, when he's walking confidently to throwing the ball, when he's sort of backing off to running. I'm telling you, I wouldn't rule that out.
So I'm telling you, isn't that an amazing mind bleep?
Yeah. It's got to be. It's got to be for these other coaches in the league.
So, but Bill's not hiding that. He wants the Rams and he wants you, opposing coach, to see that because he purposely put that in the documentary. The Patriots have editorial control on these things. He put that in there. So now it's like, oh God, Bill and Ernie are watching my every move. Now I need to. So when I call run, I got to make sure that I'm not scratching my nose. But if I walk confidently, that's a pass. If I turn to the running backs coach, that means it's a run. So now because Ernie's watching me and Bill's got eyes on me. Like, I don't know. It's just, it's such a small little thing. It's so silly on the face of it. But Bill made a point of putting it in there.
He might be screwing people. It might be that simple.
Where's McVay? I can't find him.
Every breath you take, every move you make, I'll be watching you.
Bill's asking in his headset, where's McVay? I can't find him. There, I got him. Plus 40. Got him. And that's like he lasers in on him. I got eyes on you, punk. Like, I don't know. Like, what are they doing?
I will take you down, Fokker.
But the fact that he puts it in there, I think it's more of a, you know, he's pulling Jedi mind tricks on you and he wants you to know it. We're watching you, McVay. We're watching you.
I mean, even the Pete thing was similar, right? He sat there and he said, yeah, you know, it didn't look right. Like, you know, because Pete's running around doing his freaking calisthenics on the sideline with the Super Bowl on the line.
Run the rub, cinnamon.
You know, and Bill's looking at it going,
Bill's looking at it saying, they're about to screw this up.
Pete's running around like a jackass, so they're probably going to throw. Right? I mean, I think that Bill is good at that. Honestly, I think it's like his best skill.
Okay, but this situation was a little different. I don't think there was really, that's, you know, it's comparable. But I think it's just fascinating that he put that in there. Where is he? I need eyes on him.
I'll tell you, it makes sense, though. If you can remove yourself from it emotionally and watch the other person, you can get a sense as to whether they're caught up in the moment or not.
Okay, back to your phones. That's just the one other thing that I wanted to get to yesterday. Here's Craig in Northbridge. Craig, what do you got?
Yeah, back to last night's game. That game was weaker than weak, and that was the opening night for the NFL. They should be embarrassed. The pace of that game was so bad. How many sustained drives did they have in a delay of game? I mean, look at the play clock, you doofuses. Just look up, and you'll see it. You'll see it's 1-0, and it probably should have been more.
Oh, Craig, it's so right.
For me, it was kind of embarrassing.
Well, so you know what that is? That's no preseason games, because that's what you get. I'm sure in those controlled practices they have a play clock, but it's not the same. It's not.
Did you have four delay of games combined last night?
Brutal.
Oh, what are you doing?
So that's where you need the games. Bright lights, clock on, coaches on the sidelines, guys in the booth, fans in the stands. You can't duplicate that with those joint practices.
There were 20 penalties in that.
Oh, ridiculous.
Yeah. 178 yards in penalties.
And I'll tell you what, I'm a Packer guy. You know that. I grew up Packers, Bears, all of that. I watched that last night. The whole 100-year anniversary Packers, Bear thing, forced. Forced.
I didn't like the old time get-ups that Collinsworth and Michaels were wearing.
I don't know why they had to keep talking about it. I got it. They put you in a vest. Big deal. You're going to spend half the broadcast complaining about your stupid clothes? Yeah. But the whole thing's forced. It's just football's not baseball. It's just not.
They should have made them call the game like the old timey way.
Well, they certainly made them play it that
way. Yeah, that's the way they played it 100 years ago. Yeah,
another terrible pass there by Trubisky.
They set the game back 100 years.
But it's like, baseball 100 years ago mattered. It was the last time it mattered, but it mattered. Football 100 years ago, there was still, was it?
Leather helmets.
Yeah, it wasn't even the same game. Was the forward pass even legal? And no, right. It wasn't. So it's like, what are you doing? It's just,
here's what we're going to do, man. We're going to run, and then we're going to pick up the ball, and we're going to run again, and we're going to keep running.
I thought the whole thing was forced.
Rodgers out of the pocket like 23 Skidoo.
Real quick, Charlie, on the Bruins, go on Agenda Free Friday. What?
Yeah, so I thought I was having a good Friday until 9:02 this morning. I open up my email and I read a subject line that says, your 2019-2020 Boston Bruins season tickets have been shipped. And I couldn't close that internet browser fast enough as if it had a freaking internet virus. And then as a slap in the face, my ref emails me an hour later and says, apologies. In the email it said, we sent them ground shipment. We actually did two-day air. And I was just like, oh, stop it.
Extra $17. I'm not ready for the Bruins again. I'm not over it. They disgust me. And now Jeremy's given the team to his six kids of them. He didn't just give it to Charlie, who has been around a little bit, and you know, I don't know how good or not he is, who knows, but at least he's been at it now for the last couple of years. But he gave it to all six. I just found that so weird.
So they each get like four players.
Can we give it to Charlie? Just give it to Charlie. You know what, I'm gonna, like,
you want to know who to blame.
Right. You got to have a guy. Yeah, give me a guy, and that's who we can talk about. I'm going to talk about the daughters, the three daughters. Did you even know that they had six kids?
No clue.
Any idea? But that's sort of the point with them. They're not exactly hands-on local owners, right?
I mean, I know we got plenty of time for this later, but something tells me that the entry to the hockey season in 2019-20 here in Boston is going to be a little bumpy.
No. I think we should just rip them. Just go back and rip them.
I think it's going to be a little turbulent at the beginning.
Okay, speaking of turbulence, here comes some heat. It's football season, Maz. It's Friday at 3. You know what that means?
Yeah! Bob Soucy.
Smoking Bob Soucy. On standby. He'll be in next.
How do we not get him sponsored by the smoke shop?
He is sponsored. So it's actually apt. Soucy next.
This is Felger and Mass
on 98.5.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Making sense of Boston sports.
There's no catching and no throwing. Anyone can play, no matter how hopelessly unathletic they are.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's time for Hot Sports Takes.
Here we go.
With Bob Soucy. Yes,
Maz, you ready to do that for 17 weeks?
Well, I'm ready to do it for 20.
Plus the playoffs, exactly. It's never just 17. Time now for Hot Sports Takes with Bob Soucy, brought to you by Coors Light. That'll cool them off, the official beer of football Sundays. Coors Light, mountain cold refreshment to cool off smoking Bob Soucy. Coors Light's made to chill. Welcome to the show, Robert. They actually put that on my copy. Welcome to the show, Robert. They wanted me to, they were trying to force me to be polite.
Because they knew you weren't going to say it otherwise.
How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. It is great to be back on the show.
It's great to have you.
A little chilly in here. We need to warm things up, heat things up.
Heat it up. So this is, Soucy sends us an email. I said, what do you want to talk about? And he gives us a list. And I always find it's a combination, Maz, between things he actually wants to talk to that he came to from the week and other things that he heard us talk about that he finds so stupid he just has to address.
Yeah, taking shots at us.
Yeah, there's like a little balance there. So the first thing he said is, I have thoughts on the continued Palace Q intrigue 2 days before the opener, from Hoyer's release to hypothetical destinations to the primary reason Bill and Josh are willing to run more. So what's your take there?
What's my take there? Okay. I listen to narratives still.
I mean, I listen to you guys.
First thing is, didn't we learn anything from last year? Do you remember what it was like at the end of Tom versus Time going into the 2018 season and all the questions and when the Palace Q intrigue really started to percolate? What happened at the end of the year? I mean, I fail to heed the lessons every year of training camp. You know, who flashes early and take those lessons and apply them the following year. So before we jump to any conclusions and continue to perpetuate these persistent narratives based on conspiracy theories and undercurrents based on who did play or who didn't play in a preseason game, you know, let's keep in mind the not-too-distant past, the recent past of just a year ago, what happened going into the season and how it all turned out.
I'm sweating already on here.
I understand the contract situation. I'm aware of the contract situation and what the real estate listings are, all those things. But
Maybe this will make you feel better, or it's less of a hot take. I think all that Palace Q stuff is real, and the competition between Bill and Brady is real, and all that stuff is real. I think, though, you've never heard me say that's going to bring him down. And I think that it's becoming clear that whatever sort of internal rivalries or whatever you want to call it or however you want to phrase it has sort of been a healthy result. It sort of brings out the best of everyone. I mean, whether it's Bill and Brady trying to one-up each other or prove who's more whatever, I think it brings it's turned out to be a healthy thing on the field for the team. It hasn't brought him down. It may have elevated him.
Yeah, I think the bottom line is, these things are created off the premise that Bill wants to win a championship without Tom Brady. I think Bill wants to win a championship or try to win a championship with the players he believes give him the best chance to win a championship. And if it's Tom Brady at 42, it's Tom Brady at 42. And right now, maybe we'll see if it's Tom Brady at 43. If he plays well at the end of this year, I believe it's going to be Tom Brady at 43 and 44. But I think that's Bill. That's Bill's mindset. And you know, Tony, sorry, but you know the discussion about the Patriots running more, and I think we got a glimpse of that in the documentary Do Your Job 3, why they did switch to the run, why they went back to basic old school football and simplified things down the stretch last year. And part of it was what they weren't doing well offensively to that point. But also part of it is the reality and the common sense, frankly, that when opposing defenses become lighter and they put more speed on the field, more defensive backs, well, if you can line up with the same people and with that same personnel group, though in different formations, either spread it out and throw it against their base personnel or slam it down their throats and run behind a fullback like James Devlin against their light personnel, the nickel and dime personnel, that's what's going to dictate the running. I don't think it's because Bill wants to win his way and not Tom's or anything like that. So that's, you know, look, it's a new season. There should be a lot of excitement about Sunday night, the championship banner unveiling. And, you know, I came in here, you know, wanting to talk about the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Patriots, but, you know, I just had to get a few things off my chest.
No.
No, here we go. Kate, here's the second thing you
Five minutes in, I've already had my pants pulled down.
Listen, your partner, Bob, Scott Zolak today said he wants the Patriots to go after Antonio Brown. He would want him on the Patriots. Do you agree with your partner or disagree?
I disagree. And here's the thing that I keep coming back to. Belichick, Jimmy Johnson on the boat in A Football Life, the documentary. And Jimmy Johnson's talking about Charles Haley, I believe, if memory serves. And he said, you know, I learned that you never want to draft a dumb guy. People can tell you a guy's uncoachable, but if he's smart, I can motivate him. But hit me on the head with a hammer if I ever take another dumb guy again. And I'm not saying Antonio Brown is dumb. But you certainly have to question
I don't know how his smart judgment, he is.
You know, from the time he walked into, you know, that chamber and his feet started to freeze off to what he's done now, you know, essentially putting millions of dollars at risk over, you know, the nonsense of the last couple of weeks involving him. But, you know, with Randy Moss had issues when he was acquired by the Patriots, of course, and questions. People like Corey Dillon did as well. Josh Gordon certainly had his personal struggles and demons, but you know, I look at Randy Moss, and he had one of the great football IQs that Belichick has ever worked with. Belichick raves about his football intelligence, as do many others. In Josh Gordon's case, everybody talks about what a great kid he is, and beyond that, even when he was a Cleveland Brown, while missing long stretches of time, he was still able to pick up offenses very well, whether it was Norv Turner's offense or the other coaches that he played for.
Bob, you may be surprised by this.
And I just wonder with Antonio Brown, I mean, with everything that comes with it, you know, is he the guy that, you know, Bill, you know, puts on the same class as those others that he's given a new lease on their careers to?
You may be surprised by this. I'm with you on Brown. I don't want Brown. Way back when I did, but the fact that he went to a new team, new beginning, and it's taken him not even one real game to piss everybody off should tell you something.
He was rewarded for what he did in Pittsburgh, giving up on his team and all the problems and distractions he created for the Steelers. He's rewarded with that contract. And he's about to blow it up on the Raiders.
Okay, Mitch Trubisky last night, and what that means about young coaching and a thought about Josh. Give me that quickly, because I still want a game thought before you get out of here.
Going back to Do Your Job 3, how, if you're an NFL owner today, and I know that, you know, there is a certain editorial, I don't want to say bias, but there's an editorial perspective that's built in, and that story is told from that point of view. But regardless of what's taken place in Denver or Indianapolis, how, if you're an NFL owner, do you not look at Josh McDaniels and the way he comes off in that documentary, as I'm sure many NFL owners watched on Wednesday night, and then sit down at your television set?
So you're part of this campaign, too. They sick you on this one, huh?
Or if you're in an owner's booth at
seriously.
Yeah, how can I interview you for the thing?
No, he's got a bumper sticker on his car that says McDaniels for coach in 20.
Seriously. Hey, how do you watch Matt Nagy and Matt LaFleur? And granted,
Nagy did a good job last year to get that bum to 13 wins.
He did a good job, but how much of it was on the defense and Vic Fangio? But I mean, and he's considered one of the hot young coaches, and with good reason, I suppose. But how do you not look at last night's game, 10-3, with those two hot young offensive minds, with a quarterback who was number two overall, and Aaron Rodgers, and then not go back to the night before and say, boy, this McDaniels guy deserves another chance.
He deserves another chance. I wouldn't base it on that propaganda piece that was the other night, as entertaining as it was.
No, but you know what? there are a lot of people out there in the football community who look at things like that. And look, how many college basketball coaches used to get jobs because Dick Vitale on a national broadcast would say, hey, you know, Mike Felger, he's such a great, brilliant young assistant.
Right.
Somebody could give him a job.
Okay, well, we'll see if it works for Josh. Finally.
Committee to reelect McDaniels. Like,
seriously.
Questions, concerns for the Pats going into Sunday's matchup?
Well, the obvious, offensive side of the ball, receiver, tight end, offensive line. Ted Karras is a guy who's been in there before. I believe in Ted Karras. I like Ted Karras a lot. But Andrews, that leadership, keeping that offensive line on the same page. I go back to last year's AFC Championship game in Kansas City, and the way they operated almost flawlessly. You know, they're going to have to overcome his absence. I think they can do it, but there are a lot of questions related to that offensive unit's performance are going to be determined by who stays healthy, who stays on the field. The tight end spot is certainly interesting, especially going up against the Pittsburgh Steelers, who've always been vulnerable to the tight end. And I think their defense should be a lot better this year because of the athleticism they've put in the middle of it with Barron along with Devin Bush. They've drafted a cornerback, which means Artie Burns isn't going to be on the field. Last year he was on the field for three plays, blew the coverage on Hogan, and he was gone. I think offensively it could be a situation where Pittsburgh gains addition by subtraction. So I think it's going to be a very good game on Sunday night. Sean Davis not playing for the Steelers, if that indeed happens in practice yesterday, free safety, that could be a very important player for Pittsburgh not to have on the field from their point of view.
All right, Bobby, look forward to the call. You and Zoe get going Sunday night here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Thanks. We look forward to our regular Friday stints as well.
Me too. Thanks, guys.
See you, Bob.
Okay, Smoking Bob Sosie every Friday here on Felger and Maz on an agenda-free Friday. Coming up next, the Patriots' Stairway to 7. Again, this is Murray's brilliant piece. You got to hear that. And then we get back to your wonderful phone calls on whatever you like. A lot of focus on last night's game. Anything Patriot-related, you got it at 617-779-0985. All coming up after the update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' on You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Maz.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sports Hub. Sports Hub. Sports Hub.
As thy calendar flips to September, the Patriots of New England begin their quest for a seventh championship.
Yada number seven.
The Pats and Brady will secure another Lombardi to behold, and they're climbing the stairway to 7. All us Pats fans, we know that all the other teams they blow, they're just turds who will get what they came for.
We'll kill them.
Yeah, yeah. And they're climbing the stairway to 7. We will all defend the wall, and you better be sure that clown Goodell deserves a wicked beating.
Goodell sucks.
There's a post on Facebook that says the team to beat is the Chiefs. I wrote, I hope Mahomes gets hurt by Thanksgiving. I hate him.
I hate him too. I hate all the quarterbacks who aren't Brady. Eli, Dak, Mayfield, Roethlisberger. I hate anyone who's not the GOAT.
Yeah, I want to melt the GOAT.
Yeah.
Yeah, my favorite championship's the next one.
I'm gonna win another.
Got any more, Murray?
No, not for today.
But are you all used up?
Yeah. But if people want it, it's on YouTube and on our all socials, Felgren Mass Facebook page, everything goes.
Back to your phones, as promised, here on Agenda Free Friday. Brilliant work there from Big Jim Murray. Cam and Taunt, what do you got for us today?
Hey, guys, I just want to touch on something that I don't think has been touched on enough since that Super Bowl, since we're going to celebrate it one more time Sunday night. Your guy Ted Johnson said this, but I don't think enough has been made of how much, if the last image of the Bill Belichick, Tom Brady Patriots was Malcolm Butler crying and Nick Foles picking them apart, if that was the way it ended, with the, imagine how it would have felt in the future. Like, man, as incredible as that was, that's how it ended. That win last year did so much to save face, I think, for Bill and for this team. It's unbelievable.
Huge. No question about it. No question about it. And I think, you know, like, we're looking at a guy like Murray, who was ready to write off Bill Belichick from that Malcolm Butler game, the Eagles game. And, you know, just like that, it's not erased, but it's a little bit like the Sox in 03 and 04. You sort of forgot about Grady Little pretty quickly.
Sure. Yeah.
And I think there's, you know, kind of a comp there.
It feels like one that they left on the table, but I'm not as mad about it. And most people aren't as mad about it anymore, and rightfully so. That's why that one last year was really important for that. He's right.
The only thing I would say to Cam and Taunton is that I don't think that one was the end either. Like, you know, what's coming next?
Yeah.
So if the Brady Belichick, not if, when it ends, the probability is still that it's going to end with a loss. Somewhere along the line.
Well, those are the odds, yeah.
Yeah, and again, that's not going to change my perception of the era, but the end of it is usually not sweet.
Joe in Redding on last night's game. Hi, Joe.
Yeah, Mike, I could say a lot about that dumpster fire last night. That game was absolutely terrible.
Horrible.
But specifically on the Bears, my eyes kept going and focusing on one guy, Cordarrelle Patterson. If there was a Felger and Mass Sucks and Blows Hall of Fame, this guy is unanimous first ballot. When, as a Packers fan and covering the Patriots last year, when you saw this guy line up on 3rd and 1, 5 yards deep in the backfield, what could you have been saying?
Oh, my God, he got blown up.
Oh, so great.
Oh, did he get blown up?
-2.
Joe, they actually use him as a receiver. 3rd and 5, running route. Like, Joe, thank you for the call. He's not a receiver. He's not. No. He returns kicks. He runs reverses. You want to throw him a wide receiver screen? Maybe. He can fill in at running back. He's not a – if your first three are hurt, fine. Hand him the ball. But the Bears actually used him as, like, a key offensive piece.
Oh, and he's
idiots.
He's been talking all summer, Patterson, saying, oh, well, now Nagy knows that this is finally I'm at a place where they know how to use me. They use me as a wide receiver. Shut up,
great,
you stink.
Great call. You suck. He does. He sucks. And Chicago has all those, you know, I was going to say cute, but they do. Like that, who's the pass
Taylor,
catching?
They have Taylor Gabriel, who I like.
Tariq Cohen.
Cohen, the running back.
He's a good player.
Great little weapon. Great little pass catching back.
He returns kicks, too.
And Robinson's a good receiver. Like, they've actually got some players there on offense, which makes Trubisky's suckitude even more glaring. They've actually got some guys. But you're going to, when you need it, I got 3rd and 5, you're going to throw to Cordell freaking Patterson? What are you, drunk?
they took the cheese on that one.
And the run up the middle, that was great.
Yeah. Oh, God. -2. One carry, -2.
Oh, he's definitely a first ballot in the Felgren Mass. Sucks and Blows Hall of Fame.
He had 2 touches last night. He got 1 net yard.
Derek in the car. Go ahead, Derek.
Hey, guys. So as first game of the season is coming up, I see more and more about reporters talking about how bad this Patriots receiving corps. I just want to get your guys' thought. Should Patriots fans be worried this season? What happens when it comes to week 9 and Brady can't get on the same page with all of his receivers?
So, yes, I'd be worried about the receivers in a vacuum, but I don't think it's going to cause you to lose ball games. So, I don't know. I think you're going to start the season 9-0 or something like this. I do. I think you're going to be rolling to start the year. I think your schedule's so weak to start, and you're so good in other places that you can be weak at receiver and still win most of these games, all these games. So, but this is how I look at the receiving core. I think it's got a high ceiling.
Yeah, it does.
You know, if Thomas is healthy and productive, he can help. If Gordon stays on the wagon and shows up every week, Brady likes throwing to him. He's a real player. If Edelman stays healthy, you know, if Jacoby Myers looks the way he did in the preseason, you've got something. You've got a good group. But they're all, you know,
it's all question marks.
There's a low floor too for all of that.
Totally. I'm not talking about receivers as much as I am pass catchers. I admit, the guy who I'm intrigued by, and you're going to laugh, is Lacoste. In the little bit that he was out there, I thought he looked pretty good. And I'm not telling you he can block, but I think he can catch it. And you know what? I could see, I'm not telling you he's going to be Gronk. I'm just telling you 40 catches or something, you know, half dozen touchdowns. I could see that from him.
So I don't know where you saw that, but good job watching closely because I didn't notice it.
The first game, I thought he looked all right over the middle.
He had one nice grab over the middle, didn't he? That was sort of behind him.
Yeah.
One-handed thing behind him.
Yeah, kind of had to turn his body a little bit. And I thought, well, that's not bad. Like, if they're testing him there, I think he might be, I'm not saying good.
Okay.
I'm saying half decent.
Not complete bag of suck.
Correct. Which for me is saying
something. That's high praise. Must be in a good mood. Coming up next, Antonio Brown feels like that situation's kind of settling itself in Oakland. I don't know, maybe settling is a little strong. But quite a bit of chatter there about Antonio Brown to the Patriots for a time. Greg Bedard thinks the Patriots should go after him. Scott Zolak wants Antonio Brown on this team. He'd go after Antonio Brown. Others say not so much. We'll hit on that topic right after these words.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Mann.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass.
Wow.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Listen, I mean, if it's not the Raiders, then we'll make it work with the Eagles or the Patriots or the Titans.
Are the Patriots, the Patriots ready too, huh?
The Patriots are in the mix. I put Belichick in touch with Kevin Colbert today.
I'm saying, so how the decision is going to come down? Is it going to come down, like, to what club willing to give up the most?
From the Steelers' standpoint, that's what they want.
Okay.
They want the most compensation. I really want you to have a good quarterback, and I want you to be in a
good situation.
A winning environment, man. You know, New England to beat Philadelphia. These are two of the last Super Bowl champs. Yeah. You know?
100%.
So when Antonio Brown pulled his latest stuff with the Raiders, why did everyone go nuts with Antonio Brown to the Patriots? I sort of forgot. Because the Patriots were in on him. Apparently, if you believe Drew Rosenhaus in these phone conversations, they were really in on him when he went from the Steelers to the Raiders.
Yeah, when hosts aren't listening, I mentioned this yesterday.
No, I heard it. I mean, no, I heard you say it, but
I forgot that it happened from that time.
I forgot we had the sound. I forgot that we had the call. I forgot the way it sounded on the call. I just forgot all about it. I mean, you mentioned the Pats were interested, but I don't know. Just the call sort of crystallized. I don't know when you're talking to him there. And this was Antonio Brown was recording the phone conversations with Rosenhaus to post on his whatever Instagram story, sausage emoji, whatever he's doing there. And, you know, this is just a conversation between he and his agent before he got shipped to Pittsburgh. So the two things stand out in these phone clips. One, that the Pats were really in on it, or unless Rosenhaus was lying to them. Two, what a stone-cold moron this Antonio Brown is. I mean, good Lord.
Yeah, he did. He just comes off as a dope.
What a dunderhead. So, Jimmy, just play the second clip.
The Steelers have been good communicators with me. You know, we've talked a couple times every day about the teams, and they know that it's important to us. That's why they opened it up for the Patriots as well. And that's a good development for us that, you know, they're now willing to trade you to New England. So now it's a process of New England stepping up, you know?
Yeah.
That's not great business for the Steelers to trade you to the world champs in the same conference.
So they don't care. They're making money. They got this shit going on. This shit never ending. So they don't care.
I think at this point, AB, they're just ready to get the best compensation regardless of the team.
But they're making money. Like, what does that have to do with anything?
I'm glad you said that.
Freaking idiot.
That comment, I was listening to the sound earlier today. And when I heard that one, I said, what does he mean?
This guy's just an
a-hole. What, the Patriots aren't making money?
What are you talking about?
Like, they're all making money. Every team in that league, they're raking it in.
And then I'll just play the third one because he gets confused or, like, what his compensation's going to be versus what the team's going to get. And, like, listen to this.
Go. And I think the Steelers are taking it very seriously and trying to get it done.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why they're willing to consider even New England. You know, think about that. Think about playing with the greatest quarterback in NFL history. And he's a cool guy.
I'm saying they got them first rounds, too. So am I going top two rounds? I'm going at least the first two rounds.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Of course, man.
That would be an honor.
Yes, they won't tell me exactly what they're going to offer, but I have a feeling it's going to be very lucrative for us.
That's going to be amazing.
And I don't think we'll have any problem getting a deal done with these guys.
Yeah, we need that. We need that respect, that guarantee that, like, you know, like, Robert Kraft's a cool guy, too.
Kraft is one of the wealthiest guys in the NFL, AB. So
yeah, I'll pull up. That'd be great. That'd just be like that championship talk.
A-hole. Seriously,
this
guy.
So that's the other thing is, like, if he had a clue, he would know that typically the Patriots don't pay out the nose for guys who are problem children in other organizations.
Oh, I'd be at least first two rounds. What an honor. I mean, what does that matter to you? That has nothing to do with you.
I have no idea. But
y'all get a first round pick. The Steelers will get a first round pick for me because I'm that good. I don't know what that means.
It shows how important he is that they're trading away first round picks for him.
Instead, you got a third and a fifth, you tool bag. Third and a fifth. Best receiver in the game, and you only got a third and a fifth because you're a freaking.
He's as talented as he is a rockhead. Like, he really.
Rockhead.
Oh, he doesn't get it. I mean, this explains a lot, though, when you hear that. Because, again, the thing that I find a huge turnoff, usually a guy goes to a new location, he's on good behavior for a year,
yeah,
maybe
it's a
year
honeymoon,
and a half.
Yeah.
Yeah, like it, he didn't even get through camp.
Guns blazing.
Real, he didn't even get through camp.
So, Antonio Brown to the Patriots, if you're the Patriots, Maz, yes or no?
No.
Murray?
Yep. I stand with Bedard and Zoe. I would take him.
Bedard and Zoe say yes.
When I find this stunning because I'm usually on the other side of this. And when he was with Pittsburgh and they were looking to move him, I said, yes, yes, absolutely yes. But this latest thing with the Raiders, this puts me over the top.
No, no, 1,000 times no. Don't need this guy. Never needed this guy. Never needed this type of guy. Never needed it. When I say type, I mean, even if he wasn't a freaking a-hole, if he was just the needy, he needs the ball. Needy outside receiver. You just don't need that guy. Brady doesn't need that guy. He may want him. He may think he wants him. He may think he needs him, but he doesn't. He doesn't. When you've won with Deion Branch, David Givens, Troy Brown, Julian Edelman, Wes Welker. You didn't win with Wes Welker. Sorry. He dropped the ball. But when you've won with Brandon Mitchell, when you've won with these kind of guys, why do you all get so horny? Why do you get horny, Murray, for the Antonio Browns of the world when you've won with the Deion Branches of the world? I don't get it.
It's more me factoring in Brady's age. I think he needs help, and I don't trust the wide receiver group this year. So, yes, I would take him. And he's a complete rockhead. And how he has acted since he's got to the Raiders is reprehensible, and his priorities are completely out of whack. But talent trumps trouble in that league more than basically any other sport, and I would take him. Because even though he's a rockhead, he's awesome and tough.
I know this is purely, like, you know, pure fantasy land. Okay, but if he were to ever sort of be interested in playing and being part of this,
he and Brady would be fun to watch.
Oh my God, they'd be like,
it'd be good,
magic.
It'd be good,
really, because he's perfect for Brady.
He'll go over the middle, run slants, like he's really, really right. good.
He'll get open.
And you've gone to three of the last five. You've won two out of the last three with Julian Edelman, who's been their second best receiver, Danny Amendola. Give me their second best receiver over these. Who was their second
Amendola
best receiver last year?
Hogan.
Hogan. Who was their number two receiver last year? I'm even drawing
Hogan
a blank.
Hogan was basically out of the circle of trust.
Cordell freaking Patterson.
James White.
I mean,
running back. No, who was the receiver?
No, you'd probably say Josh Gordon.
He wasn't in the Super Bowl. He got suspended at the end of the year. Who was their number two guy in the playoffs?
But for 11,
Philip Dorsett.
Dorsett. So you're winning championships with Dorsett and Edelman and Hogan and Amendola and Branch and Givens and Troy Brown, who, again, I think is a phenomenal player, but no one would put on, like, that shiny outside number one receiver kind of pedestal. You've had a top five offense the entire way through, pretty much, with those guys, with this quarterback, and you all still whip it out for the Randy Mosses and Antonio Browns of the world? I don't get you. I don't get it.
And I guess you guys just don't think that highly of Bill Belichick, then, and his ability to corral a big personality like this and deal with a player
like Antonio Brown. I hate to break it to you. He did not corral Randy Moss.
Oh, he did for the most part.
Oh, no. All things were great in 2007 because they never it
eventually went sideways. Well, but for a little while he was able to do it
because Randy Moss is the perfect guy that when the going gets tough he quits. So they never lost a game in 2007. You never had a chance to see the bad side. In 08 he throttled down for Matt Cassel. He throttled down. Okay, he did. He was not the same guy. Then 09 he was a complete jerk with the rest of them. Helped bring that team to its knees. And by the time they got 3 weeks into 2010, they got so sick of his crap, they had to deal him. So I don't know how much corralling Bill did with Randy Moss. He got a year out of him. Like, just like he got a year or two out of Corey Dillon. But he didn't corral those guys for the long term.
What's Brady got left? A couple of years here. I would take Brown for a couple of years.
I don't think Brown would last. I don't. Again, this thing with Oakland, to me, I just, how does that happen?
But just let me tell you something. It's over. It's not happening now. Because if he plays in week one, his salary is guaranteed for year one. And that's all guaranteed dollars. So the leverage goes straight to Antonio Brown as soon as he's on that active roster for Sunday night. He's guaranteed whatever this year. I think it's 15, 16, something like that. He's guaranteed $30 million over the next 2 years. But he has to be on the week one roster to get those guarantees. So the Raiders have the leverage until week one. After week one, all bets are off.
I'm surprised the Raiders are playing him. That's a mistake.
And that means the Patriots are off. Because the only way they bring in someone like this is that they have the leverage with the contract, and after week one, they won't have it. So the trade deadline may be October, whatever, but they're not going to trade for a guy who's got guaranteed dollars.
I mean, that thing is already a mess out there. Like, he's got Gruden and Mayock on opposite sides of the line right now already. Like, that thing is a team killer. He really is. And look, Oakland, I suppose being Oakland, soon to be Vegas, maybe they feel, well, what the hell? It's just money. Let's take a shot. We have nothing to lose because we suck. But I just think I don't see how it can work with this guy when the coach and the GM are on opposite sides of it.
Okay. We'll take your thoughts on that. We'll take your thoughts on Packers-Bears. We'll take your thoughts on Patriots-Steelers. Chris Gasper is actually in the house. May not be sale week over at Nordstrom. There's no specials at the Nordstrom Rack this week. They're Gasper. He's actually in on time. You'll hear him next after the 90-second update from Murray. No commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.